When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references? Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
So, Scott and I are walking through a video store. We come up to Spookies, and I say, was that movie good or bad? And Scott goes, I don't remember. Let's ask Brian as a tiebreaker. And we look at Brian, and he has a blank stare on his face. And that's when we realize he hasn't seen this yet. So we rent it so that Brian can enjoy Spookies. Now, unfortunately, the copy of Spookies that we rented, for whatever reason, played beautifully fine in a HD Blu-ray format for me, but for Brian was a corrupted file that he could only see about 45 minutes of the movie. So let's talk about Spookies.
Here's the thing about Spookies is that watching the 45-minute corrupted version isn't any less confusing than watching the Blu-ray.
Yeah. So I did get enough to understand why Matt likes this movie a lot. Like, I realized as soon as I looked
Does
at
he
it,
though?
I was like, oh, yeah, this is the Matt Kelly movie.
Yeah, I don't,
this is the
I don't think
Kelly
that
movie because right, the special effects department, the people that they got to do the special effects were the people that were Martin City, Kansas's spookiest house decorated for Halloween in 1990.
So I will tell you that I actually did not enjoy Spookies when we did it for the podcast.
Okay. Either time.
So why did we re-rent it?
So here's
because
the reason,
it's insane.
Yeah, here's okay. the reason we re-rented it. So there was a method to our madness. Sometimes we re-rent the movies because we just really want to discuss them again. Other times we re-rent the movie because we're like, man, that movie's insane. And I feel like it'd be even funnier with Brian talking about it. And And just a little wizard behind the curtain, could this inspire future t-shirts? So there's a lot going on there. But Brian, let me give you a very, very, very brief history of Spookies, because this will make all of the sense in the world to you. Spookies started as a feature film titled Twisted Souls. It was photographed in the Jay Estate in New York, blah, 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 blah. Twisted Souls was being edited when creative and legal issues between the producers and the financial backer prevented a final cut. The original Twisted Souls footage consisted of all the travelers who arrived in two cars and all of the monsters and effects that they encountered within the house. This would include the demon Ouija girl, the Muck Men, the Spider Woman, the snake demons, the hallway demon, and the Grim Reaper. However, in 1985, the financial backer of Twisted Souls hired a new director to film more footage and then piece the two films together to create Spookies. The added scenes included an entirely different cast with footage of a boy looking for a birthday party, a man hidden in a tree, a cat man, an old magician, a girl in a coffin, zombies, and a witch in the basement. So you're basically watching two movies shot like 5 years apart from each other, just glued together. And that is like part of the charm of Spookies, is that like these two stories don't make any sense together at all. They never make sense together. And it's always like, well, what does this little boy have anything to do with these people showing up? What is this guy talking to the woman in the coffin, who literally sounds like he's recording his dialogue through a can? Like, it's like, it is so bad. It's so thrown together, but it has that in the positive, enjoyable watch bank, quote unquote. It's got that Ed Wood flair of, we've got to finish this movie by any means necessary. And I have never watched this with a group of people, but I feel like this is for sure a group of people hanging out, watching a movie and making fun of it type movie. This is not a alone by yourself in a basement watching by yourself movie, because it's not very enjoyable.
No, this movie is a real slog. And it's not like, I mean, I've watched a lot of bad movies in my time, even before this podcast or the podcast that spawned this podcast. That's why I got the job. But Spookies is just one of those movies that I think that the idea of a lot of cult movies is, it's so bad, it's good. And this movie isn't. This movie is just like a head scratcher every scene. And I did a lot of reading about this the first time we did an episode on Spookies. And I think that it also is worth mentioning some of the crazy shit that happened with that financial back. He was an English guy. And now this is coming back from the back of my memory brain, bank, whatever. Because I did not revisit, like, there's a whole website about the making of Spookies, and it's, I don't know how they got all the information, because it's just absurd. But from what I remember, the financial backer was this British guy who is like this real chuckle fuck kind of dude who he was kind of like the guy that would pinch a secretary's ass kind of guy. He was kind of like a lech. And he had like a really bad sense of humor. And that's why it's called Spookies, because he was like, I want to call it Spookies. But imagine that in some British accent. And then the American people are like, that are attached, are like, you can't call it Spookies. That's a racial, like, it's a bad word. You know, like, that is not the name. And he's like, it's my money. You're naming it Spookies. Also, we're going to add this other story because it would be fun. And also, we should add fart sound effects for the Muckmen, because Americans love farts. Who doesn't love farts?
Which, unfortunately, Brian missed that sequence. And if there was ever a sequence...
Oh, you didn't see the Muckmen? Fuck.
There was ever a scene that Brian would be like, this movie sucked, except for the farting Muckmen.
The thing is that it's not... There's nothing clever about this movie. It takes itself incredibly seriously. It's just like the whole movie is one bad decision after another, with terrible acting. I mean, really bad acting. Worse than like what was that? A Bloody Murder 2. It was worse than Bloody Murder 2.
And the most unfortunate thing is the worst actor wanted to be there the most.
Oh, and dude, the Catman?
Like, yeah, that's like the...
What do you mean? Like
yeah.
The guy that plays the Catman. No. The Catman.
No. Not the Catman. No. The Duke. Cool Duke.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Duke.
Duke. The guy who is reading every line, and you know that his acting career peaked in the high school production of Grease. He is just walking around like, forget about it. He is just giving 110%. My favorite scene with Duke, and I'm worried that Brian didn't get this scene because it's right before the Muckmen show up, is when Duke's just working on his crowd work. You know, he's just walking around and playing with props, and he like at one point throws a blanket over himself and he's like, look at me, I'm a ghost.
Yeah. Like, oh my god. Like, oh, fucking Duke.
Duke, you child. No, Duke, I feel like that's the biggest thing we walked away from the first time we watched this was like, oh, hell yeah, fucking Duke just all up in this business. Yeah,
it's still out there, but I don't use it anymore. But I made a Twitter that was fucking Duke, and it was like me just talking in that like cool guy voice, like the New Jersey accent voice. Man. I don't miss Twitter at all. Like, I fucking hate Twitter. It's the worst thing in the world, but aside from Parler. But it was fun to play a character.
I'm not going to lie. I have been enjoying... Jonathan London signed up for Parler just to troll in there, and his stories of that website are insane.
Can we teach me what this is?
Parler is racist Facebook.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we've had a couple nicknames for it. One person called it Only Clans, which is a really good one. Let me see. I have a whole text group that's literally just memes about Parler between Jonathan, Heidi, and our friend Derek. Let's see. So the one is my favorite one that we found was the Simpsons clip where Homer drives by and is yelling at his two coworkers, and Homer screams, "Screw you liberals on Facebook, I'm going to Parler." And then Lenny says, "What did he say?" And Carl says, "I don't know, something about not being able to make a woman come."
Yeah.
Parler's a trash heap, but dear God, that thing started. And within a few days, just the memes making fun of it came rolling in. So
I never heard of it. I don't know why.
It's fairly new. That's why it's only
they're going to run out of money and be gone in a month anyway.
Yeah, they're going to go the way of Quibi. You mentioned the Catman. The Catman.
Oh, the guy that sounds like Waluigi the whole time.
Yeah, he sounds like Waluigi, and he looks like he just wandered off the set of Hard Rock Zombies. Like he. Is such a lame costume effect. And then...
And he has the fake... He's got, like, one of his hands is in one of those super fucking cheap pirate hooks. Do you remember those from, like, one of my first memories of dressing up for Halloween was one of those pirate hooks. And it's just like a black... It's a little... You put your hand around this little piece of plastic on the inside, and then there's a black... piece of plastic that goes over your hand and then a silver plastic hook. He was wearing one the entire fucking every scene.
So the other thing that we have to talk about in the beginning of this movie is fucking Billy and his fucking surprise birthday party.
You guys remembered.
Like what the fuck? And then there's definitely, so look, I'm not going to say that any of this movie looks good, but when looking at the information on the special effects used for Twisted Souls versus the special effects used for the additional footage to make Spookies, there was a much better effects team doing the Twisted Souls stuff. Like, they're not great, but they're on, like, that rock and roll nightmare level of, like, cheesy puppetry that I can get into. But like Billy opens a box and you can see the hole in the bottom of the box where the guy's head is sticking out to be the creepy. Like it is like high school group of kids making a movie for all of those scenes. Like it is so low budget and thrown together, which I mean, it sucks that the movie makes absolutely no sense because I do think that there is a Brian is right. I do enjoy the fact that the special effects in this movie could have came out of like the spookiest haunted attraction in the 80s at like some middle of nowhere Midwestern town, because I like the witch puppet. I like the like cheddar goblin ripoff creatures.
They're gremlins ripoffs. It's really what they are. And you know, I think that the funniest thing about them is that their heads move, and I believe it's like the bottom of their chin moves a little bit, and they just look like very inquisitive and not murderous at all.
Yeah, no, they've got a very curious looking face. But even like it's cheesy as hell, but even like the face melt, there's like a claymation face melt that happens.
Yeah, that woman movie. The woman gets electrocuted and then her face melts, right? Or no, the guy I can't remember.
But it's like there is like these moments where it's like, you know what? They were trying. Like twist, when you watch it, it's like Twisted Souls felt like they were really trying, but the additional footage to make the full movie did not feel like it was trying at all.
Well, yeah, I wish I would have watched this when I first came on the show before you guys ruined me.
Yeah.
Because like you brought up Hard Rock Zombies and I was like, man, I loved Hard Rock Zombies. But I feel like if we watched it now, I would hate it because when I came on the show, every horror movie, I was just like a mother. Just a mother wanted to hang it on my fridge and say, look at the effort. Look at the effort my son put into Spookies. You know? And now I've just been like drinking whiskey since 10 a.m. smoking a cigarette. It's like, you call that art? Throw it in the trash.
Well, we now, found fucking Duke's mom right there.
So do you think, because this is an interesting question, do you think that that's because you've been doing the podcast for so long, or do you think it's because of the pandemic has just gotten everybody on edge, or is it that terrible combination of both?
I think that I think it's just my life. Like I don't blame the pandemic too much for my misery, although I'd like to, and sometimes I guess I do, but the truth is, I'm just a cry. Like my sister had to text me, and tell me not to ruin Christmas because that's just the human I've become at this point. just a crotchety old man.
What would you do to ruin Christmas? Enlighten me, please.
I just like to say this sucks a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
He likes to point out how miserable he is very publicly. He's turned it. He's younger than me, but he's turned into like the grandpa that's lost his filter at the retirement.
Well, at least he's like, not grabbing strangers' asses.
No.
I mean, he's grabbing Jade's probably without.
Yeah, so I still have the pervert aspect, but it's a little less. It's perverted in the sense that it is her body and not mine to grab, but it's okay because she's like. I mean, this is the guy that I married. Like, it's not like she met this really nice guy and then I put a ring on her finger and I was like, give me that butt. You know, like, she knew what she was marrying.
Oh, God.
Much like Melania, she knew what she signed up for. Yeah,
exactly.
Fucking saints to deal with.
Let's not call Melania a saint. She's evil too, but
no,
like,
no, I was talking about Jade.
Jade can be a saint.
I'm worried about it, Brian. I am worried about it too. So I'm glad Julie. I'm glad Julie vocalized that because I'm assuming that was Julie. That seems like a Julie text.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
All right. So back to Spookies. If there's anything else to say, I mean, this movie is.
I have one thing I got to tell you guys. I have seen. VHS original VHS copies of this at conventions twice, and they are worth hundreds of dollars. And I don't understand who's spending that money on a piece of plastic for a piece of shit movie like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so what's shocking to me is like we reviewed this movie for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then at one point I bought a bootleg of it. But it was kind of like it was the VHS PS. They were doing like buy four titles, get the fifth one free. And I really only wanted four titles, but they're like, well, you should really take a fifth one for free. And I'm like, I don't know, fucking Spookies, I guess. So I grabbed Spookies. But for the purpose of this, I was like, I've watched the YouTube video. Like, that's how we watched it the first time. And I've seen the bootleg, and it's basically the YouTube video. But I was like, I think someone put this out on a Blu-ray. So I looked. And Vinegar Syndrome had put it on a Blu-ray and they were doing a sale. So I was like, oh, I'll throw that into my shopping cart because it's like $9.99 right now. So, excuse me while I do this. So they put out a double disc Spookies Blu-ray with multiple special, a whole second disc of special features, including The Twisted Tale, The Unmaking of Spookies, VIPCO, The Untold Story of the Notorious UK Home Video Label, The Alamo Drafthouse Screening Introduction featuring the director and co-producer, QA with the actors, Archival Location Touring, Uncut Outtakes, Bloopers, Behind the Scenes Stills. So they really like loaded up this Spookies Blu-ray. And
I'm interested.
I will say that I'm excited to check out some of those special features, but much like when we talked about Motel Hell, the cleanup restoration on this movie is so unwarranted. Like it looks no, so, but
the thing it is, looks so Motel good. Hell looks good and it makes the movie better.
Yeah.
No, this yeah, is. Yeah, but I see, I'm interested in the bloopers because I just can't this see whole movie's anyone a having blooper. Fun on set. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't see anyone laughing.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like something goes wrong and they have that Debbie Downer look with the sad trombone playing instead.
Or it's like clearly scripted. Like, I feel like that's it. They're just like clearly, they wrote a script for bloopers so the guy could show how much fun they had on set. You killed my husband!
I think that it's possible that the bloopers are just the actor playing fucking Duke trying to keep everybody upbeat. Yeah. He's, oh, guys, we're having a great time.
Yeah, because also, if I remember correctly, when they were recording or filming, they were filming in the middle of the night, like the entire time. And people were like, and they were not having a good time.
Yeah. Well, that's like, you don't have a lot of bloopers from Clerks, and that's probably because same situation. You're only filming from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. every day. You're doing long, like 15-minute takes, and most of you have day jobs, so you're only getting about 2 to 3 hours of sleep for the 2 weeks straight. Like,
and yeah, more than half of you don't want to act. You're just doing a favor for your friend Kevin.
Fucking Kevin.
There's not a ton of bloops in that movie. I do want to say I'm officially announcing that I am taking at least a 6 month sabbatical on making fun of Kevin Smith. Because he's helping out a friend of the show, actually the day that we're recording this. Ashley Victoria Robinson and her husband, Jason, and their podcast, Geek History Lesson, are doing a little live stream for about 7 hours today, all about the comic book industry. It's to raise money for the Wounded Veterans, organization. And, Kevin Smith has agreed to be part of their live stream for like an hour long discussion. So, you know what, Kevin, I think your movies are trash, or at least the last like 15 years of your movies have been trash, but you seem like a good guy. So I'm laying off for at least a couple months. Cause you're helping
I actually just listened to an interview with him and he did kind of make a comment where, you know, they were talking, he was on Joe Rogan. And there was something about him being a passionate director. And he was just like, there hasn't been passion in my work in a long time. Like he said, he straight up said it. But he was, too, aside from like, he had to, it was like 45 minutes of him like loving weed. But then he like got super sentimental. He's actually a really nice guy. Like his daughter, his daughter was like telling him to go vegan forever. And he just was like, no, you know? And then he had a heart attack and she like cried and just was like, okay. And literally changed his entire lifestyle because his daughter cried when he had a heart attack. And he seems like a different guy now that he's almost dead. But it didn't make him a better director because he made the most recent Jay and Silent Bob post heart attack. And,
it ain't great. It ain't great. I also just fun fact for the listeners. Kevin Smith's first ever podcast interview was with Jonathan London, the Podfather.
Yeah.
He's even gone on the record of saying he doesn't remember John's name anymore, but he has, someone asked him what got him into podcasting. And he said, well, years ago I was in Philadelphia and sat on some dude in his friend's couch and talked about my movies. And I never even knew that that was an option. And I was like, that's Jonathan. He's talking about Jonathan. that's enough about talking about Kevin Smith. Back to talking about this movie.
And, I'm trying to give these people a half hour at least, Matt. We're going to have to go off the rails.
No. That's
what we do
fine.
With all re-rentals, I thought.
The re-rentals are never really focusing on the movie. But I do want to say again, like, Brian, you nailed it, and I didn't even think about it when I was watching it. But, like, if you condense this movie to, like, 10 minutes of just the puppets and the special effects and, like, all of those scenes, like the Spider Woman and, like, this, that, and the other thing, and you sent it to me and said, yo, I found this footage. It's a haunted attraction in Kansas. I'd be buying a ticket to Kansas. Like, I'd be like, ooh, I can't wait to go and see that. Like
well, there's any reason to go to Kansas, apparently.
I didn't pull a random name out of the hat. So when I said Martin City, Kansas, just so you know, don't buy a plane ticket to go there. It has been voted many years the most boring city in America. And that's why I went with that one.
Well, I'm going there anyway now to see it for myself.
So I have two questions.
I can be interesting somewhere.
You're talking to Matt Kelly. Like, you're talking about Matt fucking Kelly, who cut his visitation to Portland short because he wanted to get to Bend, Oregon, not for the beautiful scenery that is Bend, Oregon, but so he could go to the last Blockbuster in the United States.
That is true. Like, can we write a Broadway show called Martin City? And it's just about a guy that no one finds interesting. So he finds the most boring town in the world to be interesting.
I don't think that it needs to be. I think that that's way more of like a comedy movie, like a full fucking movie of that would be pretty okay. I mean, it would have to be. I mean, it would be a Brian and Matt Kelly production because my sense of humor is definitely far more like fart joke than like self-deprecation. I mean, there's a lot of self-deprecation and self-defecation, but I think the two of you guys could bring some Curb Your Enthusiasm to that shit. And I'm a little too Mrs. Maisel, you know?
Yeah. What's the character? Like, you know, what's the issue that he comes with? He's pretty interesting in the town, and then this guy moves to town who's got nine toes. And everyone's like, oh, it's Nine Toe Joe. And he's like, Nine Toe Joe.
Okay, oh, man, maybe it does need to be a musical. Yeah. It's also really weird when we have a day on the show where Brian is singing more than Matt. And also, Wizard Behind the Curtain for people listening. I got on to the recording a little late, a little bit later than Matt and Brian. And Brian said, oh, thank goodness you're here. And Matt goes, yeah, I was singing.
So we were having a conversation about One Hit Thunder because someone messaged me literally while we were waiting for Scott to jump on and asked if they could talk about Lit. And I was like, sorry, someone got there yesterday already. And then he decided he wanted to talk about me. And he wanted to talk about Duncan Sheik And I was like, man, Barely Breathing is a fucking jam. And then we got into a conversation about how Barely Breathing is a really good song because it's not just the chorus that's catchy, but like even the verses are very sing-alongable.
Yeah.
And how Life is a Highway isn't like that, because Life is a Highway, you're just sitting there waiting for the chorus. So you have something to sing along with. And I was singing the verses and the choruses to prove my point, and then Scott saved Brian.
So dude, anytime that I can save anyone from anyone singing Life is a Highway is a good day for me. Like, I basically can go back to bed now because I've done my deed for the day.
All right. So, Brian.
Yes.
As we ask every time on a re-rental, obviously Scott and I have re-rented this. Do you think you would ever re-rent Spookies?
I will never watch this movie again. And I want to talk to you real quick. No, not you, Matt. Not you, Scott. Talking to you, Logan. I know you're listening to the episode. And I know you're thinking,
I should find
this on VHS. And I'm going to say, no, you lunatic. Do not buy it. I don't care how cheap or how awesome you think it is. I promise you. You will regret that purchase.
He really will. It's so funny because I wasn't going to name drop, but he was the person I was thinking of when I was talking about how expensive this was. And I was like, dear God, I hope that I haven't gotten this bloodlust into Logan and he's going to like go spend too much money on a terrible film.
So yeah. I think that there is going to be one more circumstance where I watch Spookies. But with
a girl?
Yeah.
God damn it. There's a thing that John and I have been talking about bringing back for a very long time, which was his little game that he used to call the Gauntlet, which was that him and his brother would go to like gas stations and buy like used action VHS tapes.
Sorry.
These old shitty like straight to VHS action movies, and then it was a contest with money on the line where people would show up. And they would put down some money and they would basically just marathon through all these movies and just kept going until only one person was still able to keep watching the movies attentively. And I think that if we ever did another Gauntlet, Spookies is like a good like first or second movie, kind of ease you in to like the trash that you're about to sit through as the night continues.
That sounds so punishing, and I would never do that. I don't, it's like the idea of an adrenaline junkie, but the opposite,
yeah.
You know, like a mediocrity junkie. They're just like, this is so middle of the road. Oh, I can't wait to watch more. I can't wait to exist and breathe.
I miss doing them. They used to be like a fun thing with a group of friends on a Saturday night, just like, because then you're like, at a certain point, you're no longer paying attention to the movies and you're just chatting. I never did the money prize. It was just like, hey, let's just put on some trash and sometimes we'll pay attention to it. And other times we'll just sit around and talk. And that's like, Brian knows this. If you needed to ever book a Matt Kelly bachelor party, sitting around watching movies and occasionally talking is pretty much exactly what I need.
I thought that it was reading comic books in separate sides of the room.
No, that's... That's former best friend hangout time. all right.
We both like Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, well, how about you go read this Calvin and Hobbes over there, and I'll read this one over here. And then if we, find something really, like, absolutely funny, you can come over here and show it to me. But if it's not funny, then you're banned coming over here for 10 minutes.
Good God. I'm, like, sad. You make me sad.
There we go. We can put that whole thing in the movie that we're writing about the guy who goes to Kansas.
Yeah.
That's not fully true. I made some of that up. Anyway, so that was Re-Rental. We will be back with another Re-Rental next month. And then after that, we're slowing down on the Re-Rentals. They're going to be every other month. The monthly Re-Rental is really bogging up the schedule. High ambitions on the Horror Movie Night podcast sometimes. So tune in for the next Christmas re-rental. So think about all of the Christmas horror movies we've talked about on this show. And what one are we going to re-rent? Ooh, it's a terrible movie, and I'm sorry, Brian, but there's so much.
I'm so excited. I watch it every year, guys. So I mean, it's just it's two birds, one stone for me.
Listening to the Geekscape Network.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.